Welcome to From the Bleachers, the only podcast that recognizes that Real Housewives is a sport. I'm Sandra.
I'm Mandy.
And today we have kind of a special episode for you guys. I have pulled together a collection of clips from other podcasts, and I chose these clips because they either support our view of Real Housewives being a sport, or they help us like peel back the curtain in a way that really helps us understand better how the game works.
And I'm sure that at this point, you know, I'm already working on some kind of clever clip pun title for this episode, just so we know.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too, but you're better at that than I am. So
you'll I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I like to get quippy.
So some of the clips that we're going to talk about, we have an executive producer of Buying Beverly Hills who was on Kate Casey's podcast talking about how to know if a player is doing well on a season. We have the Dark Lord Andy Cohen himself on his Daddy Diaries podcast talking about what did not really work on Potomac this season. We have four clips from Bethany Frankel's, or she changes the name of her podcast all the time. But at the time that it aired, it was called Rewives. This is an older podcast episode, but it was a interview she did with Denise Richards a while back. I love this because they talk about one of our signature plays.
The Bravo, Bravo, Bravo.
Yes, they talk about the Bravo, Bravo, Bravo moment and some other stuff that Bethany is always talking about Real Housewives like it's a sport. And so I just, that's one. Although sometimes her podcast can be grating, that is one piece. That is one part of listening to her that I like. She definitely recognizes that it's a sport.
That doesn't take away from the fact that we're the only podcast that recognizes that it's a sport.
Of course not. She hasn't said it outright. She just uses a lot of sports language.
There we go.
And then we have from Bravo Docket, it's also an old episode from them, but they read some of the contract language that goes into a guest on the show. And so I thought that was really interesting. We should talk about that. And then last, yeah, and certainly not least, we have two teas in a pod where like about a month ago, they interviewed Monica from Salt Lake City. And she talks about some things that were different from the edit that I thought would be interesting to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of good stuff.
So excited.
So this first clip that we're going to get into, this is Reality Life with Kate Casey. It aired on March 28th, 2024. It's an interview with the executive producer of Buying Beverly Hills, Justin Hochberg, talking about how to tell how well a player is doing on the show.
The way, you know, I get asked this a lot when we do a show with new cast, whatever it is. And they asked the question, some version of, hey, how did I do? Which is mm-hmm. totally normal. It's like human nature, right? And I say to them, when you see the show, watch with a stopwatch. And when you look at the stopwatch, clock how much time you're on camera and how much time you are relative to the other people who are on camera. If you're at the high end, you're coming back. If you're not, you're probably not, right? It's that simple. Right? Yeah. So I don't have any aspirations for anybody to get more or less time. It really is a function of what's the best story to tell. Like that's all that it is. You know, if you have a great story, you'll get more time. If you're like very open and you're in the mix of things, you'll get more time. If you're not, you'll get less time.
I love this. I love because this supports on so many levels what we talk about, right? There are times where Sandra has said, you know, her error of the game has been that person just wasn't involved in that show. You know, they didn't get invited to this event. And that's all about how well do you play? The better you play, the more coach puts you out there on the field.
Totally. And I feel like if we could come up with the best scoring method, it really would be to get out of stopwatch. And right? Clock how much screen time everyone gets. That's way too much work, obviously. So I think that our reunion season score is the next best option.
Like, all right, I'll take these three housewives. I'll time them when I watch. You take the others.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine how much freaking time that would take us? It already takes us forever to watch the episodes. But yeah, he says the ways to get more time, you have the best story to tell. You're very open. You're in the mix of things. And, you know, this guy is on Buying Beverly Hills, but this is across reality that this applies.
Yes, exactly. And I really love how this also highlights that the work of a housewife, the work of a good player, is one that has created a lot of friendships that makes sure that the other wives want them around, right? Because that's how, you know, if the other wives trust you, if they know that you're going to catch the ball when you throw it, if they know that you're going to put up a block for you, all those things, then you want them around. And therefore, you're going to be in the mix more. You're going to get more screen time.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of like a Kyle Richards, right? She may not have been the person who was making the big plays or having the most exciting storylines throughout all those years, but she was somebody who was well-liked enough to be in the mix always.
Yeah. And we'll talk about it when another clip comes up later, but also putting things out there, which, yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later when we talk to Denise Richards.
Denise.
But first, let's head over to Dark Lord Andy Cohen's Daddy Diaries podcast. This is from March 8th, 2024. He has just finished filming the reunion for Potomac, and he talks about the problems with the current casting of that show.
So I got home from that. The directive at that reunion was we wanted the women. I think one of the flaws of this season, or the flaw of this season, is that there are women who aren't able to find any common ground with some of the other women. So there are all these pockets of women that just won't even acknowledge each other, which is not a recipe for, you know, one of the hallmarks of the Housewives is finding a way to move forward.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the directive of the Potomac reunion. And you will see how that went down when you see it in a few weeks.
Did you watch the Potomac reunion? Do you follow Potomac?
I do follow Potomac. I haven't watched the third, so it's a three-part reunion. I haven't watched the third part yet. I think it aired like last night. I think it's a Sunday night one. So I haven't watched the third part yet. But they have announced, so the big like rifts where you could tell like people just didn't want to film with each other. They were making statements like, I'm never going to make up with this person. I'm never going to trust this person again. I want nothing to do with them. Was Candace versus mostly Robin, but also Giselle. She's always had a thing against Giselle, and Robin and Giselle kind of come as a pair. Since then, it has been announced that neither Candace or Robin are coming back next season.
Interesting.
Candace may have decided on her own not to come back. She's got other stuff going on that she just wants to place priority elsewhere. I think Robin was probably fired.
Okay.
You know, in parts one and two, they weren't reconciling anything. I'm not sure if they reconciled anything. And the third part doesn't really sound like it. And then the other is NECA, who is a rookie player this season, and Wendy Osefo's, you know, veteran player. And just from the get, Wendy just has something against NECA, wants nothing to do with her. And it seems like just trying to ice her out of the show. Which maybe you could put a similarity on that with them trying to like ice Monica out, although it was much more obvious on Potomac. And with Monica, it seems more like maybe that's a narrative that she's coming up with her mind that may not have held as much grounding in reality. But when you can see it happen with Wendy and NECA, where Wendy is like, I want nothing to do with this new person. You can't even really tell what it's about. Like they kind of try and tie in some stuff of what it might be about, but you get the sense that you're missing something.
Interesting. Well, I think the bottom line, right, is if you cannot move forward with these people, then you're too much in the mix in the sense that you're excluded. You're putting too much stuff out there and therefore actually taking half of your potential is gone if you won't film with other people.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, to quote Andy Cohen, you know, he says the hallmark of the Housewives is finding a way to move forward. This is why we write apologies.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there's other ways to move forward. It doesn't always take an apology, but an apology can be and often is a really good way to figure out how to move forward.
I totally agree. I'm a little distracted right now because I just clued into the fact that you have an awesome new background.
I love that it took, because we've been talking for like 10 minutes before we started recording too. And it took you like 20 minutes to
It took me, like, I noticed while the Daddy Diaries was going on, but I didn't want to interrupt and be like, oh, hey. But yes. On the other hand, then I was just totally distracted the whole time I was listening and talking.
Yes, I finally decided what was going to go behind me. These are just things I've had hanging out in a closet because I tried to put them elsewhere in the house and they didn't work there. And I was like, you know what? Those would be good on my podcast wall.
They're really fun. It's very spring-like too. But anyway, back to what DLAC is talking about. Yes, like you've got to move the ball down the field. I'm going to really hammer the sports analogies.
Yeah, and he was quoted saying the same thing about Real Housewives of New Jersey this upcoming season.
Yeah.
And which is an unfortunate thing to hear. However, he's trying to backpedal now. Recently on the podcast, he was like, no. It comes together in a way that really works. But I think he's just trying to make sure that people watch, that people aren't like, this is going to suck.
Well, I don't mean like, I guess, you know, if people just want to see the two of them fighting then. But I think with New Jersey, there's going to be enough people fighting and making up besides Melissa and Teresa that we'll be okay.
Yeah, that's what he kind of says. There's a lot of other interesting stuff going on, which from the preview didn't really look like it, but I'm willing to hang in there and give it a shot. I always think it's fun to watch, even if it's not the best season ever.
Well, and I'm super excited for us just because it is also our first franchise where we get to start at the beginning of the season since we've only just recently started the podcast, right?
Right, and go all the way through.
But I love it. I love how that says, like, yes, our apology rubric, that's where it's at.
That's why we got it. So let's move on to Bethany Frankel's podcast. This is an old episode. It's from November 7th, 2023. At the time, her podcast was called Rewives. She changes the name like every few months. I can't keep up. But anyway, Rewives with Bethany Frankel, November 7th, 2023. This is Denise Richards, and this is part two of her interview with Denise Richards. We have four clips from this show, but in the first one, she's interviewing Denise Richards, and they talk about Denise's time as a player on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and they get into whether or not it's really reality.
But is it reality?
Apparently not. I don't know.
I mean, just did it feel like it was based on reality?
Well, from I don't know a lot of them outside the show. So for me, that's why I said to the producers involved in the show, I said I could be myself or I could be the actress Denise Richards coming on and be glammed up the whole time and treated as if I'm filming a scripted show playing a part. Do you know what I mean?
No, I totally know what you mean. But the thing is, how can you not do that when that's the game? You can't walk onto the NFL and decide to play peewee football. So now you're playing this game and you're like, wait a second. I came on just to play peewee football because we're all being real. But like, here we are. It's the NFL. So how am I not going to raise my game and put my Hermes bag right in the front of the camera shot and, you know, and wear ABCDEFG letters everywhere, all over my body, every minute of the day. Like, how do you come in there without doing that?
I love this. It's total player recognizes game.
Absolutely. And I just love this recognition of a persona, that like you create a persona and that is what you are. That's your role. That's your job. You know, you're not necessarily there to be authentically you. You're there to be some version of you.
And this conversation went on for longer, right? This is just a small clip of it. But I thought when she was saying, is it reality? Like, is it really real? That they would talk about other things besides what they're wearing. But that was really all they were focused on. It was like, well, it's not real because they wouldn't, like, I would just show up in jeans and a t-shirt and instead they're showing up in a ball gown. I'm like, is that really how you measure reality though? Like, I've already accepted that these women are like doing their hair and makeup and they're wearing like more fancy clothes than they would because the cameras are there. But to go deeper, like what I more care about are the storylines that people are sharing. Are those genuine? Are the friendship and conflicts genuine? Like, that's what I think of more as reality. So I thought this is a little weird. That was like the surface level. Is it real or not?
But. Right. Yeah. Because we're always worried, or not worried about. We often are commenting on this as manufactured drama versus real drama. Mm-hmm. And we talk about the four TRR, the for the right reasons of housewives is friendship. So are these real friendships? What are we doing here? And Denise does say there, I've never met these women before. I didn't really know these women. So she was sort of thrown into that mix. It would be interesting to go back and watch the Denise Richards years, I guess, to just see, because especially as we get to some more of these clips, how she feels about what went on that show for her.
Yeah, she was an interesting player because, like, Bethany, and you can tell just from these clips with her, like, Bethany knew the game, and that, and Bethany was so fun to watch. And she knew the game in a way that it was like, but she would still bring in reality. She'd bring in her real stuff that was happening. And she would really have like genuine conflicts with people, but she also knew how to play it for the cameras and how to kind of like exaggerate her personality a little bit and just be so fun to watch. Whereas Denise, I think, came in and was kind of like a deer in headlights. She was like, I don't understand what this is. But that was almost interesting to watch in a way too.
And that's why I'm sort of fascinated, having seen her a little bit on this last season of Beverly Hills and hearing that she is talking about being open to returning to the show. Mm. And I still feel like she is a deer in the headlights. Yeah. Like she still has not quite figured out who she wants to be on the show and how she wants to interact with these women. It's fascinating.
And that actually leads into this next clip really well, where they're talking about something that producers would encourage them to do that she was uncomfortable with.
The shows are, I just mean, if someone says
to you, this is happening to Lisa, this thing is happening, this crazy thing, you're supposed to put it into the middle because that's the name of that game, is what I'm saying. That's happened with literally sisters, Kim, Kyle, Kathy. They throw it in the middle because producers are in your ear saying, like, we have to talk about this. These other people know this. Like, it's a mental game. Like, you gotta, you know, it's just the way that it goes. But if that's why it's a
I know. And that's probably why I, you know, it's for
you
me.
You left?
Yeah, I left. For me, it was, if someone were to come up to me and say, we need you to bring this up, if it was something I'm just hearing it for the first time off camera, I'm not going to bring it up.
She's got standards.
Maybe some integrity, but yeah, they
I had to hear it twice. The second time I hear it, I'll bring it up.
The second time I'll bring it up, yeah. But yeah, like as Bethany said, the producers, they're in your ear. They want you to throw in the middle. Denise doesn't like that game.
Yeah. And Bethany talks about what a mental game it is too. Mm. And that just has to be, I mean, I think back to so much of Salt Lake City, right? Was just that throwing different pieces of information out there, you know, Monica saying like, oh, hey, what about these DMs? Or what about the rumors? What about the, you know, all these things. Like how much of that is producers like, hey, let's use this for a storyline.
Right. And Kyle's marriage, producers are in Sutton's ear to bring that up, Dorit's ear. And it's a little silly of Kyle to like get upset about that when she knows like this is the only thing that's going on in anyone's life that's actually interesting right now. Can someone please bring it up?
Please talk about it.
And they probably were in everyone's ear about it. And, you know, some chose not to bring it up and some chose to bring it up.
Yep. Yep. Super interesting. And it's what we've suspected.
So then we get to probably my favorite clips of this episode, where we're talking about that Denise Richards' great Bravo, Bravo, Bravo moment. And she talks about what the Bravo, Bravo moment was really about.
Why did you take the bait? Why didn't you just be like, what are you talking about? Who cares?
You never know what airs.
Right. But why would you just not take the bait? Because I took
the bait.
Like, meaning, why would you just be like, okay, yeah, that all happened. No problem. Who cares? You know what I'm saying? Like, on reality, if you go into it and you talk about it, or you seem like you care about it,
but
or you're bothered.
But I was, so when I said Bravo, Bravo, whatever, I was referring to something else with my daughter.
Oh.
And I felt like, oh, here we go, another dinner where they're going to come at me. I blurted something out. That's why I said Bravo, Bravo. And I said, okay, you guys, I know you're going to come at me for whatever. It was like every dinner that season that they had something that I did wrong. I said, you guys got to give me a second. So that's what I said.
It was not about Brandy. No, it was about your daughter.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
And so I said something I shouldn't have, something very personal. And so then I took a breath and it was like, then, you know, they said all that. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Really?
Why do you think they didn't include the personal thing you said? Why did they take that out? Is that relevant to the story?
Not relevant. I'm actually grateful that Bravo didn't.
Okay.
It was had nothing to do with anything. It was. I don't even want to get into it.
Got it. No, I'm not asking. You know what I mean? I don't, this is not what this show is about. Yeah, I just wanted to get some context.
I'm super curious. So what showed on the show? What did it look like on the show? I haven't seen this episode.
Yeah, so I actually went back and watched the clips because I was having a hard time remembering. And so there's two, or at least what I could find on, I was just quickly YouTube. I wasn't actually going back to the shows to watch, but I quickly YouTube the Bravo, Bravo, Bravo moment. And it seems like there's two big moments she brings it up. The first one, she's like fighting with Kyle about, there was some event she went to and she showed up late and she said that she'd been working. And there was an argument about whether she'd actually been working during the day or not. And it just blew up into this huge thing. And it was like, why is this so dramatic? And then she's like, Bravo, Bravo, Bravo. Like, and it's like, why is she so upset about this? And then the second one is, I think it was a rumor about her and Brandy Glanville that maybe they'd hooked up or something like that. I think that's what she's talking about, is that scene where they kind of bring that up and she's like, Bravo, Bravo, Bravo. I don't want to talk about this. And she's got her hand. And this one's much more dramatic than the other one, as far as like you can see the genuine emotion of like, I really don't want this to show on air. And she's got like her hand up to like try and block her face from the camera.
Oh, interesting.
And she's like, don't air this. Don't air this. And that's what I think she's talking about, where she must have said something about her daughter, but they cut it right to look like she was saying that about the rumor of her and Brandy Glanville.
Interesting.
Just another great reminder about the power of editing.
Right. And I am super excited for our next clips from a different show. We still got one more here from this episode with Denise Richards, but it's really fascinating what they can do with editing, how they can change the story completely. Mm-hmm. So what we see, so there's so many different layers of what is reality, right? It's not only what do the players bring and show us while they're filming, but what do the editors then decide? What do the producers then decide? How are they going to turn this into something? It's fascinating. Right.
Yes. And a lot of times they decide that fiction is better than reality, and so they'll cut it to want it to be. But in this case, it worked in it sort of worked in her favor, in that like they did not air the thing that she didn't want.
Yeah.
And both of them are like, they're not giving Bravo the credit on that though. They're just like, well, it's just because it didn't make sense in the storyline. Like,
right. But it's possible. Yeah. That Bravo actually had a heart there for a moment. Right. Yeah. And they were like,
they still aired the whole thing and made her look crazy over the rumor, but you know, at least they didn't reveal the thing about her daughter, whatever it was.
Right. Denise signed the contract that it was okay. That was the hit she was willing to take for her daughter. It's a mother's love. That's what the story is all about.
Okay. So this last clip, again, we're still on this November 7th episode 2023 from Rewives with Bethany Frankel. And it's just more about the Bravo, Bravo, Bravo stuff.
Well, it seemed like you took some hits for sure with the Bravo, Bravo, Bravo. So I'm.
Oh, that too. Those women, they know.
So
how would I know about it? They're the ones that told me to do that.
The Bravo, Bravo, Bravo. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, that they break the fourth wall now. They used to not. There was a scene with Kelly Ben Simone where she kept going, Matt, 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 the producer's name, because she wanted the scene to stop. But they didn't air that because they used to not break the fourth wall. They would never let the viewer know that there's a camera person.
Oh yeah, I was told
now that your scene was one of the first breaking of the fourth wall.
Yeah, women were wonderful at setting me up.
that was the breaking of the fourth wall for the first time that I saw.
Those women, they know.
They know. They know. But I just love that recognition of this, you know, and for me with theater and the idea of breaking the fourth wall and my background in that, like, I love it. I just love it. They're like, yeah, they used to be very strict and now they're not. That's why I think it would be really it was interesting going back and watching the first few episodes of New Jersey. And how long ago that was filmed, you know? And I was just like, wow, it's like a different era. It feels like history. Like it was from what do you call those little boxes where you put historical artifacts to be opened up later. Why I'm totally blaming
time capsule.
It was like a time capsule. It was
I'm usually
amazing.
Terrible at word recall.
Thank you. So anyway, I like that. I like that. And I imagine the first season of OC would also be just a crazy mind-bending thing to watch.
Yes, the show has evolved a lot. I'm not sure if Bethany's accurate that this is the first time. That doesn't quite seem right to me because it wasn't that long ago. But maybe the first major moment where they broke the fourth wall and where they like made a whole narrative around it. Right. But what Denise is talking about those women, they know, is that like after the Bravo, Bravo, Bravo moment, they have everyone talking about it in their ITMs and like Dorit and Erica and whoever else are saying like, we don't know what she's doing. This isn't the kind of show where you can just like stop the cameras rolling and start again. This is reality. And like, they're all like, what is she doing? Crazy. And she's like, no, these women like no,
they told me what to do.
They told me what to do. Which who knows if it was those exact women who told her, it might have been
right.
I thought that was funny. And then I love that Bethany brings up on Real Housewives of New York that Kelly Ben Simone used to just say her producer's name over and over again. She's like Matt.
I love it.
Now we're gonna move on to the Bravo docket with Ceci and Angela. I just discovered that they were a thing, so I'm a little behind the times on this, I guess, but I just went back and listened to like a whole bunch of their past episodes. So this is another old episode. It's from February 26, 2023. And it's when they're talking about they talk about a smattering of lawsuits that the Gorgas are involved in. But this specific one that they're talking about in this clip is a lawsuit by Melissa Gorga's ex-business partner who was a guest on the show. And she filed a lawsuit claiming defamation for something that Melissa Gorga said about her on Watch What Happens Live. And now when you're a guest on the show, you have to sign a contract. I assume it's not as large and as extensive as a player's contract, but there's still a contract you have to sign. And so in these next three clips, they read portions of this contract that she signed and that, you know, would be at least similar to, if not exactly the same as what other guests have to sign before they go on the show. And I thought that they were really interesting and worth discussing. So here's the first one.
By the way, this is in the first paragraph of this document. And it says, the rights granted herein shall also include the right to edit, delete, dub, and fictionalize the footage and materials, the program, and the advertisements as the producer sees fit in the producer's sole discretion. Like, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, you're signing everything away.
Yeah. And it says the footage and materials shall also include any and all material that I may create, write, provide, or contribute to in connection with the program at any time, including without limitation, personal journals, photographs, webisodes, vlogs, blogs, video diaries, emails, and text/picture messages. The producers shall be the sole and exclusive owner of all rights, including without limitation, copyrights in and to the footage and materials. I waive the exercise of any, quote, moral rights and any analogous rights which I may have. To the extent that I retain any interest in the footage and materials, I hereby grant and assign to producer all rights of any nature in any and to all such footage and materials. You sign this, you have no right to anything that they do, and they can do whatever they want with it.
I like that, moral rights. You're signing away your moral rights.
Yeah, what does that mean? But yeah, they can edit, delete, dub, and fictionalize as producers see fit.
That to me is the key word in all of this, is the fact that they can fictionalize. And that's clearly how that lawsuit gets dismissed, right? No matter what Melissa Gorga says, and we don't know what she really said, right? What was, like, if you want to sue Melissa Gorga, you're going to have to go and figure out, you're going to have to go through the uncut edit and see, or, you know, the uncut footage and see, what did she really say?
Yeah, it is. And I don't think they can sue each other either. I think
didn't it say the parties? It said, yeah, like, you cannot sue it.
Yeah, I think you can't sue Bravo and you can't sue the other players.
But I think it's so interesting too. That's when they talk about Bravo has the right to anything related to the show that you produce, including your text messages. And we see that come up all the time, where they just take what they want and can spin it however they want.
And it's like, if another player shows your text, no control. You have, you've got no action to take.
Yeah. So it really does mean that you have really got to see why, if you are a player on this show, or you just have to let go and be like, okay. Yeah,
I don't think you can CYA. I think you enter reality TV at your own risk and you realize your entire life could be ruined by it and you're willing to take that risk.
Yeah. Because every single thing, like, I mean, we think about all those Instagram accounts or any of the threads that these housewives put out, those Bravo is allowed to do whatever they want with that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Whatever you post, everything. Oh, it's crazy.
All right. The next clip is just more from that contract.
Oh, it also says, I acknowledge that there is a possibility that subsequent to the execution of this agreement, I may discover facts or incur or suffer claims which were unknown or unsuspected at the time this agreement was executed, and which, if known by me at that time, may have materially affected my decision to execute this agreement. I acknowledge and agree that by reason of this agreement and the releases contained in the preceding paragraphs, I am assuming any risk of such unknown facts and such unknown and unsuspected claims. So basically they're saying, even if we tricked you into getting here and set all this up and got you to sign this, I assume all the risk of that.
Yeah, and then, so she signs it. She signs it. There is her printed name, her signature, her date of birth, the date of signature, her email, her address, and in big, bold, capitalized, underlined text, right above where she signs, it says, I understand that I'm giving up certain legal rights under this agreement, including without limitation, my right to file a lawsuit in court with respect to any claim arising in connection with this agreement.
Yeah, that's bold, it's all caps, and it's underlined.
It says nothing about going to mediation, but you cannot go to court.
Yes, I would encourage going and listening to this entire episode. Again, it was February 26, 2023, the Bravo docket. Also, the Bethany Frankel, Denise Richards one, I would go listen to all that one. Just really interesting stuff. And I just took like the best clips, but there's a lot of like great stuff in all those.
I love
in all those episodes.
It is amazing. It is amazing. I love the idea that even if something comes to light, and if you had known about it, you would not have entered into this contract.
Yep.
Oh, it's amazing. They have good lawyers at Bravo.
Yeah. And it's just funny that she, you know, it's in bold or whatever. She signed it saying like, I cannot sue. And then she like sued. And it wasn't even that. I'm trying to remember what the case is about. It was like, oh, Melissa says about her that like, oh, she, because they had a clothing store together. And she says, oh, she went in during the night and like took all the clothes. Because it was like they had a fallen, they had like separated. And, she, and, you know, the lady was like, well, I didn't, like, we had agreed that I could have the clothes and I didn't go in the middle of the night. So she made me look like, you know, a thief or whatever. You know, it's like, that wasn't that. Like, there's far worse things that have been said about people on reality TV. And that's what you're going to sue about when it says, like, you cannot sue.
Well, and I mean, every once in a while, you feel like that a clause is too restrictive and a court of law will not uphold that clause. They won't enforce it because it goes against state law or it's just, you know, to this or to that. But that, you know, I if I was a judge, I would be like, you know, honey, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You signed it. That sounds like exactly you what they were saying. It. You can't sue about.
Yeah. This is. Honestly, the amount of energy and money and stress that goes into a lawsuit over something like that, I couldn't even. But that's what Jersey's all about, it seems like. Let's yell about what we said about another person.
But to your point about there's certain things that like maybe are state law or whatever that would supersede what's in this contract, there's actually an example of that in a recent lawsuit by Caroline Manzo. She went on Ultimate Girls Trip, and it's an Ultimate Girls Trip that has yet to air and probably won't ever air because of her lawsuit.
Oh.
But she made a sexual assault claim against Brandi Glanville. Or she's making it against Bravo for not keeping protecting her safe from Brandi Glanville during a sexual assault. And Bravo docket talks about that one too. This is more recent. And they said that in New Jersey, they know they have a clause that says that companies, corporations, people are not allowed to put something like this in their contracts.
If there's a criminal act.
Are able to sue about this, whether it's in a contract saying you're allowed to sue or not.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, if you're a Brandi Glanville fan, you might want to go listen, or maybe you don't want, maybe you'd rather stay.
What do you know what is the accusation specifics?
Yeah, it was like, they cite, like, I would definitely go listen to that episode by Bravo Docket. It's like the Caroline Manzo case. She says that she was on Girls Trip and Brandy, like, she just like cites all these things that she says Brandy did. And all of them are like pretty vulgar, like holding her down, like, you know, gyrating on her and stuff. And there's other people around and she's saying, stop, don't do that. Please stop. Stop. Don't do that. She follows her to the bathroom, continues doing, won't let her out of the bathroom. The mics are on. People can hear this is happening and they're not stopping. And then
interesting.
And, you know, it goes on. I think she even like forced like a kiss on her with.
Wow.
Yeah. And then she was saying, I don't want to be filmed with her anymore. And then they did make her film with her. And, you know,
that does not sound good. Bravo. Does not
sound good for Bravo or Brandy Glanville.
No.
Again, this is all alleged. But
right.
I'm sure we will know when the case wraps up whether it was actually true or not, because they have video footage and, you know, like,
turns out,
and like audio recordings of all of it. So the truth will come out. All right. Last clip from Bravo Docket.
It's 8 pages, so it's more than doubled. For example, a producer and network should have the right to record me using concealed cameras or other devices. They're also disclosing more terrible things they might do to you, but you're waving a lot more. Ceci, do you want to talk about this one?
Yeah, so this one says, I understand that in and in connection with the program, so Real Housewives of New Jersey and the related promotional programs, I may reveal or relate, and other parties may reveal or relate information about me of a personal, private, surprising, defamatory, disparaging, embarrassing, or unfavorable nature, and that my actions and the actions of others participating in the program may be embarrassing or of an otherwise unfavorable nature that may be factual or fictional.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want with whatever they want, however they want to, and you can't do anything about it according to this.
I like a surprising nature, like information of a surprising nature.
Yeah, yeah. This just hammers it all home.
Yeah, concealed cameras. Like, it's basically you said, I hereby willingly submit to the life of Big Brother watching me all the time.
Right. And to put this clip in a little bit of context, they're comparing, because I think this person was on twice, maybe different seasons. And so they had two different contracts that were signed by her. And they said the later one was much longer. So they were like remarking how much it grew.
Yeah.
Over time, which just means like things came up that they decided they needed to add into the contract.
Yes. Well, that's what lawyers do. We put laws on the books faster than we take them off. And we, you know, the minute somebody raises their hand and says, oh, actually, I'm going to sue for this weird thing, then it's like, oh, we need to exempt that from lawsuits. Experience tells and makes your contract longer.
Yeah, I can't imagine how long the players' contracts are.
Oh, my God.
The more and more I know about reality television, the less and less I will ever want to go on it.
Yeah. No, I don't think I would ever, I would never subject the people in my life to that. Mm. And that's the thing is, like, I would not, the fictionalization of it all, that's where I draw the line.
All right. Our last podcast today, this is Two Teas in a Pod. A more recent interview, that's the podcast by Tamara Judge and Teddy Mellencamp. And this is their interview with Monica Garcia from Salt Lake City. And it was on February 13th, 2024. In this first clip, they're interviewing Monica and they talk about Reality Von Teese and when the other women knew that she was behind it.
When the cease and desist happened to Von Teese, do you think that Jen told the other women then?
I don't remember the timelines of that. I don't
timelines.
Yeah. I will say I mean, if this is hard for me because I know some of the women knew about the page and who was behind it for a very long time. So I don't know if they knew before the cease and desist, after the cease and desist. I just know that they know.
You just know that they knew before Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure. You could tell.
I'm so curious to go back. It would be really interesting to go back and rewatch Bahamas and sort of be like, can they, like, what's going, like,
yeah,
let me see how these women react.
That was my, when they were like, oh, you can totally tell. I was like, oh, you could?
Yeah, I know. I was like, really? Okay. Are you just saying that for Monica's sake right now? I don't even know.
No, I mean, I think they're players in this game too, right? Like Tamara's from OC, Teddy's from Beverly Hills. And like, I trust them if they know what they're seeing.
Yeah.
But also this seems to be like, now that I've been listening to so much podcasts out there, this seems to be generally accepted knowledge in podcast coverage that the women in Salt Lake City knew before Bahamas. And that there was a lot of acting going on in that last episode. Even Bravo Docket said they knew. So Bravo Docket, because they follow all the stuff. And so they had seen the cease and desist because they interacted with that account.
Yeah.
And in the cease and desist, it says who's behind. It has the people's names on it, I guess. And so it's
interesting.
Like, you know, anyone who was looking into things knew.
Yeah.
But there does seem like, you know, Heather got some sort of phone call confirming something. So maybe it was like, maybe they had like they saw her name on the thing, but they weren't sure the extent of her involvement. And they were waiting to find out more details before they really acted on it. Like, I don't know.
That's super interesting. I know. Well, it really goes back to the whole fictionalization, right? That whole, like, Bravo has the right to totally fictionalize how things go down.
And they did a beautiful job at it. Like, that
right?
was so
they
wonderful
sure
storytelling.
Did on that one. They really did.
Okay, so in the second clip, Monica talks about, and this is in the same that same podcast episode on February 13th, Two Teas in a Pod. Monica talks about the email to casting. This was talked about on the reunion, right? So on the reunion, she says she sent an email to casting and she told them their ratings were bad and they needed her on the show. And then the producers put a very different looking email from her up on the screen that makes her look like a complete liar.
And can you tell us about the casting process? Because during the reunion, you said that you sent an email to casting that you wrote, your show sucks and your ratings are shit and it's going to get canceled. But then we saw the email during the reunion and it wasn't like that. So what was it like? Let's get
okay.
And it's okay if you did a little fib.
Okay. I hate this. Honestly, you guys, this is the hardest part of this shit is now no one believes anything I say. And it's so frustrating. So when they showed those three little lines, that 100% was me. That was my first ever email. And all I was doing was asking for more information. There are hundreds of emails between us and production and casting and whatever. I actually had to submit an entire bio. Why do you think you're going to be good for the show? What would you bring that's different to this show? Da 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 da. That's where I said a lot of the shit I said. I did not say it in my first ever email like, hey, wondering what I need to do to move forward. Like, no, I put it in a bunch, this email where I had to write an entire bio. And they didn't show that, and that's fine.
Didn't you just miss Monica's voice?
And that's fine. One of the things I do feel like listening to this interview is she is Monica, you know? Like, that's the same Monica we saw on the screen in the interviews.
She is unapologetically herself, that's for sure.
Yep.
So, yeah, this, to me, if we're believing Monica, which I'm believing her in this instance, at least, this is the crafting and editing of a villain.
This is the producers doing their work. This is their storyline. They've already decided this and they're going to fictionalize it in their edit.
Yeah. They're wanting to make her look bad and they're just going to do it.
Like, this is an email she sent to us. So it's okay for us to say it's the email she sent to us.
Right. Yeah.
So, and she didn't bring her own receipts. You got to bring your own receipts, I guess.
Yeah. Of course, I don't know if she knew that was going to come up, but yeah. So
right?
That would have been great if she pulled out her own receipt there. I don't know, though. I mean, I think once you're going up against Bravo, if Bravo's decided to villainize you, I don't know. There's nothing you can do because she could bring out her receipt and say it, and then they just cut that from the show.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point. Maybe it wasn't her clown car pillow and it never made air.
Yeah. So, you know, it's more about like everyone gets at least a little bit of a villain edit at some point. And that's what seems to be the pattern on Housewives, that you'll have a bad season and then you get a redemption. But hers was so bad that it was almost like they were justifying kicking her off the show.
Yeah.
And so it's like, how do we prevent that? It's like, maybe you need to be, I don't know, more likable to your fellow players, more likable to the producers. Like there was something going on that made them create this edit of her. And we don't know the whole story there, but.
Well, you know, honestly, one of the other podcasts I was listening to today, it was the Smartless episode where they're interviewing Don Cheadle. So very different than what we're talking about here.
You listen to non-housewife stuff?
But they were talking about how if you are a pleasant person to work with, you tend to get more work in that business. And that's always made sense. Back when I was teaching theater, that is what I would always tell my students, is the talent is a dime a dozen. There are a lot of talented people out there, but you want to be somebody who works hard, who's responsible, who's on time, who does all these things. It's pleasant to be around because that makes a difference.
Yep. It's good life advice.
Yeah. Right. I think that's pretty much how I got my job at a law firm, is I was just likable and not crazy.
That's how I got my job at PricewaterhouseCoopers, for sure. I didn't have the background in what I was doing. I was just like, I was intelligent, trainable, and likable, so they could send me to clients.
Exactly.
That said, Real Housewives, you have to have a backbone, and you have to be able to create drama too. So that's an interesting, you know, like I think it's a little different from a regular job, right?
Right.
You know, like you can't have someone who's a people pleaser.
Right.
They're not going to do well on the show.
I know. I'm trying to think if there are any people pleasers that we've seen.
I mean, Angie a little bit was
doing
some people pleasing.
Yeah. But she was also willing to go in and stir the pot. And she didn't always back up her pot stir. But no, but it's true. I mean, like somebody, I'm super conflict averse. So I would be terrible as a housewife.
Same. All right. We have one last clip. And this is from the same podcast episode from Two Teas in a Pod. And Monica is explaining the behind the scenes of her pretending to be in Meredith's store for the first time.
Okay.
Why did you say you never went into Meredith's store? And then they showed a picture of you.
When I pulled up to the scene, production came up to me and said, okay, you know, you're going to walk in there and be like, oh my God, I've never been here before. This is so beautiful. I'm like, well, I have been here before. I've been here with Jen. And they're like, well, that's not how we're running it. We're running it like it's your first time here. I fucking went with that and said, oh my God.
So you meant first time on camera.
Yeah.
It was the first time on camera too.
I mean.
No, the first time was on a security cam, but just security not when we could log in to check.
I'm not attached to that. Those are two separate things. That had to do with somebody else. I just happened to be there. And also nobody stole a damn clutch.
Oh, no, I wasn't even going to bring up the stealing of a clutch. I was going to let that one slide.
I'm saying that because I know that people are tagging it together. No one stole a clutch. Nobody stole shit. But yes, I was on the security footage or whatever because I was with Jen and the other.
Okay, so you're just basically saying this is my first time, like you're on camera.
Like no, the first time you go to a restaurant there. And they'll say how beautiful it is when you walk in. Blah, yeah. Blah, blah. Like that's what she did.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I should have just been like, no, I'm not doing that. I have been here before. I'm going to run it how I would, you know, I'm just going to be like, I was here before with Jen. Yeah, I should have just said that instead of being like, oh my God, like that's my bad.
Yeah. So, okay. And that's not even a bad.
Oh, Monica. Well, I think this sort of dovetails the bad advice from producers with the fictionalization part, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is her rookie error. For listening to the producers outright, and they're like, oh, this is the way we want to run it. And she's like, okay, if that's the way you want to run it, instead of being like, no, let's do it authentically. I'll still say whatever clips you want me to say about how I love how beautiful this is or how great that is. But I'm going to say it in the context of I have been here before.
Right. Yep. Rookie mistake. I can't imagine how hard it would be to stand, especially when you're a rookie, to stand up to your coaches there who are in the sidelines telling you what to do.
Well, and I can see how, especially in this scenario, it just seems very harmless.
It's right. Like, it's such okay, a so throwaway I've been in the store
before. Yeah. And they're like, oh, we just want to run it like it's the first time you've been here. I would be the same way. I'd be like, oh, okay, I can do that. Sure.
Yeah.
Like big deal that I was here before. It doesn't seem like I would never think that they would use that against me later.
Right? You just never know when you're doing shady shit, what's going to come back to bite you in the ass.
Yes. So I would listen to this whole episode in Two Teas in a Pod if you haven't already. It's a little bit old news, I realize, but there's so many good things and I was just picking the best ones. Also, she was just on Vial Files. I haven't listened to that whole episode yet, or I'm not sure if I'm going to, because I think a lot of what was said here is repeated on that one. I just was kind of looking at the Instagram clips, but she announces on Vial Files that she's pregnant.
Well, that's exciting.
Like 7 weeks.
That's a little early to be telling the world, but okay.
You do you, you know, I'm never going to shame someone for announcing early. Just make that choice in whatever way you're comfortable.
Right. Yeah. I didn't mean to shame her. It was just that idea of like, I'm nervous when people announce that early. I'm nervous for them as somebody who's had miscarriages.
Totally.
So that's exciting. I didn't know she was involved with anyone. So that's nice for her.
Yeah, I guess she met him while filming. Now I can't remember all the details. I think she met him while filming. They've been together like, I don't know, since the season was filming. So that's a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Good for her. More babies.
And you know what? Her first baby, her oldest baby, seems like a wonderful human. So
yeah.
Be great if she can bring another wonderful human into the world.
Right. I'm biting my tongue right now because I don't want what I say to be fictionalized or used against me.
Well, you're editing this time.
There you go. I can do whatever I want to this episode. All right. Well, I love it. So we have seen that we've listened to people talk about this sport and how our players have to perform in the sport in order to get more seasons of play. Mm-hmm. We had a little bit of that. And then we had a lot of information on how the sausage is made, so to speak.
Yes, we did. We know how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
Or at least we validated. We already knew, but this is just some validation.
Yes, we have a little bit more support for our theories than what previously we thought has now been confirmed.
So I have been hard at work going through all reunions of all housewives ever and creating the reunion seating scores for all of the players.
Yes, well, I was busy maximizing my lightning lanes, which I still like to call fast pass, and I'm raising my child to call them fast passes too, so that he's just old school. While we were doing that, I was getting emails from Sandra, like sharing her new RSS document for this and that franchise. So I'm really impressed. You did a lot of work this weekend.
I think I'll be ready next week to do a reunion seating score episode where we will talk about, and this is our metric of how we determine how the franchise views its players or how they value their players. The only ones I haven't done yet are Dallas, which had 4 or 5 seasons and then was canceled. DC, which had like 1 season and then was canceled. And then I haven't done anything outside the US. So I haven't done Dubai or Durban. Whether or not I get those done before next week, I think we can still move forward with talking about it because those were all like not very many seasons. So none of those players are going to be competitive, at least when it comes to the cumulative reunion seating score. Maybe some of them would be competitive when it comes to the average, at least the ones that made it to 4 seasons.
How many? Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, is you have to be at least 4 seasons. How many seasons is Dubai?
1, I think. I think they have filmed season 2, but it hasn't aired yet.
Okay.
And then Durban has 4. So eventually I'll calculate all those, but I think we can do at least our initial reunion seating score episode without all that data. And we have the biggest franchises covered, which is the most important.
So what I'm really excited about, so that'll be next week that we get to air the RSS and really get nitty gritty in our RSS scores. So for all of the numbers people out there, people who like their stats. And then after that, we are going to do a Hall of Fame episode for New Jersey just to get ourselves excited, because the week after that, we will have episode 1 after May 5th. I'm so excited.
Yeah. I needed the break, but I'm ready to get back to it. I'm like,
I am too. I'm ready to have the focus. So, and yes. I think our listeners are too, looking at our downloads. They're really, they're going to be more excited.
That didn't surprise me. People like recaps. Yeah.
Yep. So we'll get into it.
You can follow us at Real Housewives of Bend, Oregon on Instagram. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss our episodes. Review us on Apple Podcasts, please. And we'll see you next week, Bleacher Nation.
Have a good week. Where is Durbin? I'm from America. I don't know where people are.
South Africa.
Oh.